What's up? This is Movies On Up. When you're down and dirty, it all comes out in. I am Dave, joined by my down and dirty co-host, Mike Mann.
That's me.
We are Movies On Up. Our tagline for this week, when you're down and dirty, it all comes out in. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or Twitter @moviesonup. If you've been following us, you will notice we have been tweeting a little bit more. Mike Mann is going to work on that. We're going to try to tweet more. I hope you listened to our earlier episode this week where we talked Empire Strikes Back as Ryan and myself work through all the Star Wars movies and building up for Force Awakens. This was the 5th of 6 months that we've done it, so one more. We hope you've been listening to that. It's our news episode. We're about 6 weeks in. How you doing, Mike Mann?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing good. Not a big news week. We have some headlines to talk about, but we're going to make up for trailers. Since we kind of skipped over trailers last week outside of Quentin Tarantino. We'll start with some box office, though. No surprise and kind of big surprise.
No surprise to us, a big surprise to the world, well, probably.
I'm still kind of surprised. Straight out of Compton opened number one. That part I'm not surprised about.
Okay.
I expected it to be number one. I didn't expect it to make $60 million. I thought 30 or 40 was tops. Like, I thought that was best case scenario.
I thought like 45, 50-ish was kind of the max for that too.
So, did you get a chance to see it?
I didn't yet.
I loved it.
I've heard nothing but good
things. And I think, honestly, I think we're going to be talking about it again come February. Like, I really think it's going to be around. I think F. Gary Gray is going to be in contention for directing. I think this is going to be up there for Best Picture. I think, I believe his name's Jason Mitchell, whoever played Eazy-E. I think he's got a shot at getting a nom for Best Actor because he was really, really good. It shattered August records. Like, it's one of the biggest openings in August. Pretty awesome. Like, and I expected it to do well. But it blew away what I thought it would be. I just didn't expect any movie to make $60 million this weekend.
Yeah,
it's August. I mean,
if you take it straight out of Compton, I don't know if there's $60 million there combined. So,
no, I mean, it all went to one place. And number two, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation hangs tight at number two with $17.2 million.
Still dishing out some bills to that,
yeah, I'd say. I mean, that's still making the money. Number three... doesn't really surprise me, but I would think his disappointment. The Man from U.N.C.L.E., the other wide release this week, only brought in $13.4 million.
About what we expected.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it would be a little higher. I thought it would be in that 2025 range. I thought it would be slightly behind. I thought this and Straight Outta Compton would make 60 combined, and that this would be slightly behind it. I thought they'd be close. I miss Guy Ritchie. Like, it doesn't look... I mean... nothing about this movie appealed to me, and I grew up, I was a giant Guy Ritchie fan seeing him come up. Fantastic Four fell 68% to fourth place at $8.1 million. It's only sitting at $42 million after its first 2 weeks.
Which is garbage.
That's not good. And then number five, The Gift, it keeps on giving with another $6.5 million. It's up to... about $25 million on a $5 million budget, so...
Definitely a little bit better percentage there than Fantastic Four,
Give Joel Edgerton more work. The dude's a phenomenal screenwriter. His directorial debut is doing pretty awesome. Get him some jobs. This week, kind of a weird week.
Yeah.
You have Sinister 2 opening up, which makes sense. There's like clockwork now. Like, we usually get one of these kind of movies in like June in the middle of blockbuster season.
Yeah.
At the end of blockbuster season in like August, September, and then maybe one in like October.
This was the time for it.
Yeah, so Sinister 2. But then what doesn't make sense to me is when you're doing release dates, counter-programming is kind of a big thing. Like, you don't want to release two action movies at the same time. But that's kind of what we get this week with American Ultra and Hitman Agent 47 opening up. I mean, they're different types of action movies.
Yeah, you're looking at kind of probably more of a comedy action versus a, you know,
straight up serious, dumb action. Yeah. And I mean, I think American Ultra, I want to see it. I like Kristen Stewart. I like Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, I'm a big Eisenberg guy.
Max Landis, he's an okay screenwriter. Like, he's done some okay stuff. So I'm excited to see it, and I think it looks fun. It just looks like a lot of fun. Agent 47 looks like something that... I love dumb action. Like, I love over the top, but this just doesn't do it for me.
I mean, I like the Hitman games a lot, and this is one of those things where they're just trying to churn out a movie into a, like, a game into a movie.
This was supposed to be Paul Walker, which I think is terrible casting for Agent 47.
Yeah.
They replaced him with Rupert Friend, who I think is great on Homeland.
Oh, yeah.
He's not Agent 47. I don't see it. I thought Timothy Oliphant... That movie wasn't as terrible as people make it out to be. The original, the first Hitman movie, I thought Oliphant was good in it. This just looks ridiculous, and not the kind of ridiculous I can get behind.
The shape of his head in this is so opposite of what any other Hitman looks like. Yeah,
like he sticks out with a bald head.
Yeah, it just doesn't look right.
I don't even know. Like, I don't know if any of these make over... I mean, Sinister 2, I would think, is the front runner on there, just because these movies make money.
I absolutely disagree with that. I think American Ultra, by far, will make the most money this weekend.
I don't. Sinister, these movies, they keep spitting them out for a reason. I think...
But I think if you were going to go see something, you'd probably see The Gift right now over Sinister.
I think those are two different types of movies.
Still, but they're loosely close enough that I wouldn't see Sinister.
What, one
that.
To three, what would you rank them? I think we're going to disagree big time here.
American Ultra, Hitman, Sinister.
All right. See, I'm flip-flop. I'm going Sinister the most. Hitman probably second, and then American Ultra.
That blows my mind.
Yeah.
I'm actually really surprised at that.
I mean, none of them are like super wide releases. They're all, I think, around 2,500 theaters.
That's kind of the issue, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Does Kristen Stewart smile at all in this?
Probably. I don't know. I like her. I think I liked her a lot pre-Twilight.
I like her smiling face more, though.
Yeah. I think Straight Outta Compton's number one again, though. I don't think any of these dethrone.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised with that. I think Straight Outta Compton will still get you almost $20 million.
Oh, at least. And then I don't even know. I don't think all five of these open in the top five.
No.
But on to the news... John Boyega joins Tom Hanks and Emma Watson in James Ponsoldt's The Circle, based on the Dave Eggers book. Ponsoldt's current movie out now is based on a Dave Eggers book.
Getting real creative.
Yeah, but I like, you know, I loved Spectacular Now, and I like Ponsoldt's work a lot. I love John Boyega. I thought he was fantastic in Attack the Block, and I thought, like, oh, this kid's going to be a star. It's taken a while. Like it's been a while. Yeah. But, you know, we got Star Wars, and it seems like it's all going to pick up for him now. That's a big role for him. Tom Hanks, Emma Watson. Because he's kind of in that book, he's playing the whiz kid, the tech guy who's...
Which is a cool spot for him.
Kind of the head of this corporation, which I think it's an interesting role for him. I'm excited to see... I mean, that's a good cast. Boyega, Watson, and Hanks.
That's about as good as it gets in a trio.
And especially, like, I really like what James Ponsoldt's doing. Leo and Martin together again. DiCaprio and Scorsese teaming up again for Devil in the White City. I mean, I'm not the biggest Leo fan. I'm not the biggest Martin Scorsese fan. But you can't really go wrong there.
This is... If I was going to make a movie of this, I'd want Leo to be in it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's perfectly cast, I think. But I'm not the biggest Leo guy either, but...
I mean, the thing is when they're together, like, I don't love anything they've done. They're all good movies.
Yeah.
They're all watchable. I think they're good times. Wolf of Wall Street was probably the one I liked the most of their...
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Long rumored, but finally confirmed this weekend at D23, Colin Trevorrow is officially directing Star Wars Episode IX. Interesting, because he got a lot of flack for Jurassic World. I mean, it made a lot of money. It's like the third bit largest grossing movie ever. But a lot of the critiques came from a lot of his work, which is a shame. I mean, Safety Not Guaranteed was my favorite movie of that year. Safety Not Guaranteed is one of my favorite movies of the last probably 10 years. So I like Trevor. It just, I don't know, did he go studio too quickly?
Yeah, that's probably the issue there.
Because, like, that Safety Not Guaranteed is a small movie. And the next movie is Jurassic World. And then the next movie after that is Star Wars Episode 9. You're not really giving yourself room to grow.
No, you're just kind of hopping in it, you know, straight out the jump.
But, I mean, good for him. I mean, it's Star Wars. I don't care who directs Star. Zack Snyder could direct Star Wars, and I'd still be interested in it.
I mean,
I'd be hesitant, but I'd still
see
it.
I'm pretty much the exact opposite, because you could pretty much have anybody direct it, and I'm pretty marginally uninterested.
Oh, see. From Zack Snyder, one Zack that I hate, to a Zack that I love, Zach Galifianakis, to voice the Joker in Lego Batman.
This is awesome. This is great.
The cast is perfect. Will Arnett coming back as Lego Batman. Mm-hmm. Michael Cera as Robin.
This is like all the people that I would put in a animated movie, no matter what it's about.
Oh, yeah.
And it just happens to be Batman, which is already cool.
The only thing is, I wish it was real. Like, I just...
A real Batman movie.
Picturing Will Arnett and Michael Cera as Batman and Robin, and Galifianakis as the Joker, just makes me laugh. Like, that will never bring joy to me.
Get out of the way, Jared Leto. Zach Galifianakis coming through.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. Kobe Smulders grabs the female lead in Jack Reacher 2. Kind of bearing the lead there. There is a Jack Reacher 2 that's happening. What are your thoughts on Kobe Smulders?
I like Kobe Smulders. However, Jack Reacher...
I liked it.
Kobe Smulders, though.
For what Jack Reacher was, I liked it.
It was alright.
He's terrible casting. I mean, the character in the books is like this 6'4", hulking, like, just physically imposing guy. You put Tom Cruise out there, who I thought was good. It's one of the rare times I could say, like, oh, Jai Courtney was really good in that.
Yeah.
I mean, he had little to do, but
for what little he had was good.
I thought he was good. I really liked Jai Courtney in that. Kobe Smulders, I don't watch. I hate that show she was on.
What?
Yeah.
You hate How I Met Your Mother?
Oh, yeah. It's one of my least favorite shows I've ever seen in my life. Yeah.
How's that possible?
I hate the main dude.
Why?
He's whiny. But,
it's a great reason.
But, I like her. Like, I really like her in The Avengers. And then she was in They Came Together, which is a fantastic comedy. I believe it's on Netflix if you haven't seen it.
She was in Safe Haven, too, wasn't she?
Is that a Nicholas Sparks movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea. My Nicholas Sparks movie.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't know. Was she on the poster in the rain with somebody touching her face? If not, I have no idea.
Do you want to see the movie poster for that? Because that's exactly what it is.
Oh, look up any Nicholas Sparks movie.
It's somebody grasping a woman's neck.
It is.
Caressing softly.
The only difference, it's man and woman, face to face, man's hand on woman's face. The only difference, half of them it's raining, half of them it's not. That's it. That's Nicholas Sparks posters. But yeah, I haven't seen it.
Oh, wow. You're not kidding.
I know.
This is overwhelming.
Every single one of them, it's exactly the same.
The same lighting and everything.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. Like, wow. I'm not exaggerating.
Get creative, Nick Sparks. Come on, man.
Speaking of lack of creativity, Orlando Bloom confirmed a return for Pirates, whatever.
Who cares?
What are we at? 6? 5?
57?
Dude left. I mean, he burst onto the scene with Lord of the Rings and then this. And then got too big and didn't feel like he needed Pirates. And then...
didn't do anything else.
I mean, I liked the Cameron Crowe movie with him. Elizabethtown. I liked that. He was in this movie a couple years ago called The Good Doctor. Which was okay. But, yeah, I like Orlando Bloom. He kind of went away, I guess. If he doesn't have a sword in his hand.
Yeah, if he doesn't have a sword, or if he's not a pirate, or like a musketeer, or something like that, he needs to essentially be... he needs to look like he's in the 1700s at all times.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
I mean, I have this weird bond with Orlando Bloom. I like him. I love Legolas. But I had a low point in my life a few years back, years ago, like almost a decade ago. And I ended up moving into what I refer to as the gay house. I had two random gay roommates that I didn't know. I was it was my boss's son and his friend. I almost had to move back to Indiana. She's like, hey, my son lives in this house with a friend. You can have the upstairs. So I moved in instead of moving back to Indiana. And there was a giant poster of Orlando Bloom just shirtless with his face right above the TV in the living room. So, like, anytime I wanted to sit down and watch something in that house,
there was just shirtless. You were watching TV, but Orlando Bloom was watching you.
So, and it was comforting. Like, I never felt alone in that house.
He has a very soft face.
Nice face to watch TV. Oh, he's a beautiful man. Beautiful man.
That's why he works so well as a pirate and stuff.
Yeah. Resident Evil 6 will bring an end to the franchise. I put that in quotation marks. Just like the Final Destination was the last Final Destination movie.
It was really the Final Destination.
Because I thought Resident Evil 5 wasn't that the end of the Resident Evil franchise?
Yeah, they're all the end of the franchise. Every Resident Evil movie has been the end of the franchise, too.
And here's my thing. I like the first Resident Evil.
Oh, yeah.
I think the first Resident Evil is fantastic.
I agree.
It's not really... I mean, it's loosely based on the game, but I think it's a good horror action movie. I think it does a nice job blending horror and action. The rest of them, though, like, I walked out of the middle of 2, and I haven't watched any since, because...
Yeah, they've all been kind of garbage ever since, really.
Yeah, and, I mean, I used to play in a band named after a character out of Resident Evil.
Well, we need to know the name of it now.
Wesker.
Oh, okay.
And two dudes in the band had Umbrella Corporation tattoos. So, like,
Pretty serious.
I had Resident Evil shoved down my throat, and even then, I couldn't watch these movies. So, yeah, I don't... Will anybody be sad to see these go, other than Mila Jovovich and her husband?
No. No, I don't think so. I don't even know if they're going to be upset.
Yeah, there's a theme here from Jack Reacher 2 to Pirates to Resident Evil 6 of... Do we need these things? And the ultimate of that...
The ultimate, do we really need these things?
Oculus director to direct Ouija 2. And that's not even... I thought Oculus was okay. For what it was, I thought Oculus was fine. Ouija 2?
Is Oculus the movie I think it is?
It's with Karen Gillian and Brendan Thwaites with the killer mirror.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I watch that movie.
It wasn't bad. It's not great, but I think for the chum that's getting churned out, like, in the mainstream horror, I thought it was watchable.
It was watchable. Here's how I watched that movie. My buddy and I were hanging out at his house, and I'm playing Xbox, and he's watching a movie. We had two TVs side by side hanging out, and he's watching this movie, and I'm playing games, and I keep looking over, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? Why do they have this mirror? But you could watch the first 5 seconds of that movie and know what the rest of the movie is.
I mean, that. It's not a... In this movie, subtle and foreshadowing are, like, as opposite as you can be. Because it's foreshadowed. I mean, like, you know what's going to happen.
And they're, like, flip-flopping between present and past and future.
I thought it was good. I thought Thwaites, and I like Thwaites, and I like Gillian.
The acting was good. The writing was awful.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's fair. But I almost feel like this is... I would rather see something else from him than Ouija 2.
Absolutely.
He does have something coming out. He's got a movie coming out this fall. We'll talk about it on the fall preview next week that me and Ryan will do. It stars, like, Kate Bosworth, I think...
Thomas Jane, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's Thomas Jane or Aaron Eckhart, one of those two. Thomas Jane, where the little kid's, like, nightmares come to life. I'm interested in that. It's a good cast. It's a really good cast, and I'm interested to see.
With potentially decent writing.
Yeah, I just feel like this is a step back. Speaking of horror, though, we're going to kick off trailers.
Oh, man.
With a horror movie. A trailer for The Witch came out this week. It's got a lot of press at Sundance. It's gotten a lot of love. It looks pretty intense.
About as intense as you could get watching a trailer. And I like the one description in it, it feels like I'm watching something I shouldn't. I don't know if that's like the best or worst description.
I think it's for that kind of horror movie. I think it's great. I mean, there's this the thing in the beginning with the baby like hooks me. It's like, okay.
Yep. You get drawn in. You're like, oh God, there's a baby gone.
And, I mean, like, there were a few horror trailers released just this, like, later after we had already done the outline, like Hellions and, another one, Hellions came out, and I almost added the trailer, but it's like, yeah, that's not as... I'm more interested in this one. Fake Elle Fanning looks pretty awesome in this.
Yeah.
Like, I had to look it up. It's like, wait, Elle Fanning's not in The Witch, is she? And I had to look it up and realize, like, oh, that's not Elle Fanning.
Yeah.
Looks like Elle Fanning in this trailer. It looks intense, and...
I don't know that I could watch this in theaters.
It'd be tough, but you know what? I always go into movies like this with apprehension because something like Jugface had a really, really good trailer.
Yeah.
And it sucked.
Yeah.
Like, these kind of movies are really good with trailers generally, but not always good at delivering. But it did, I mean, it did well at Sundance, and it's gotten a lot of praise, so I don't know. It's something we're split on. The new Ridley Scott joint. The Martian released a new trailer starring Matt Damon, Jessica Chastain, Donald Glover's in there. There's a lot of people in this movie.
Donald Glover, all that really matters, though.
I think it looks great. Matt Damon gets stranded on Mars.
Like I said, I'm just kind of over space movies, I think. I think Interstellar and Gravity kind of wore it out for me.
See, and I liked Gravity.
It was all right.
I liked it. I like Quarren. I think he's a phenomenal director. I thought Sandy was really, really good. I like Matt Damon, and the thought of him being on most of his scenes being by himself, I'm all for. And then the rest of the cast, when it's not him on screen, is just top-notch.
Yeah.
It's weird that it's a Ridley Scott movie, because this isn't the kind of movie I expect from Ridley Scott.
Oh, no.
But, I mean, he's let me down before, so I'm trying to temper expectations, but I think it'll be good. I really like Matt Damon. From somebody I liked, somebody you really, really like, new James Franco movie, Everything Will Be Fine.
Put this at the top of any list of movies I'm excited about.
Or any movies that'll probably bum you out.
Yeah, like, it's probably like a bummer movie, but I feel like James Franco's just turning the corner of, like, getting away from the Pineapple Express-y kind of movies for him, and going straight to... I'm James Franco, seriously.
See, I don't think so, because Franco's always been back and forth. He always will follow up like this with The Interview. Like, he's one of the most... Like, the choices he makes are so out there. Like,
but they're the best.
He's really good. He's good at everything he does. He does best. Comedy fantastic. He does...
Everything.
Yeah. This reminds me of a movie from a few years ago starring Joaquin Phoenix and Mark Ruffalo. I think it was called Reservation Road.
Yep.
It has that kind of vibe to it. It's a different story, but Reservation Road, Ruffalo runs over Joaquin Phoenix's kid and then tries to hide from it. This is Franco running over some lady's kid and kind of embracing it. But they look like they have that same kind of tone. Which,
sign me up, because you're taking a movie that I loved and giving me something similar with another actor I love.
An actor I love in a role that I really don't care about. The trailer for Burnt.
Oh, see, I feel the opposite on this. I'm really excited for this, too.
See, the Bradley Cooper movie where he plays a chef that, I guess a drug addict chef who tries to open a 3-star restaurant in Paris or something.
Sign me up for this.
It used to be called Adam Jones or something, and they realized, like, oh, naming movies after people nobody knows who they are is stupid.
Yeah.
The plot of that sounds so uninteresting to me, and then this trailer does absolutely nothing for me. And I like Cooper. I won't say I'd watch Cooper in everything, because I skipped Hit and Run, but I'd watch
Cooper. Almost skipped American Sniper, the most garbage movie of last year.
He was really good in that, though. I thought the movie was terrible. Yeah, but he's
really good in a garbage movie.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand this movie. I don't know. I guess just in my mind, it's one of those, it's like, who's into this? Like,
I really like, I have a weird...
I mean, like, I guess I could get that.
I really weirdly like watching cooking shows, cooking stuff. I love to cook. And I think this is a great story. Like, I've, you know, spent the last 3 weeks like, man, I wish I could open a restaurant. So I think this is a cool story that's kind of hit me in like a peak of interest.
See, he, yeah, did you ever watch his sitcom?
Yeah.
His Kitchen Confidential, based on Gordon Ramsay's book. I thought it was great.
Oh, yeah.
It was funny. The John Larroquette episode, I thought was fantastic. Like, that's what made me fall in love with Bradley Cooper. That show and those eyes. But this just, I guess I can't watch this movie without just wishing it was Kitchen Confidential.
I mean, you're going to get Kitchen Confidential in a way. It's just a serious Kitchen Confidential.
Yeah, and I don't have any interest in that.
Oh, get out of here.
Another thing I don't have any interest in, Jim and the Holograms.
Finally on the same page here.
I don't get this. This is one of those that I don't get. It's not... This is what's wrong with... This movie's straight out of the 80s in the way that...
You just wish the 80s were gone.
Well, no, not so much that. Like, Jim and the Holograms was popular in the 80s. It was popular when I was growing up. It hasn't really carried over.
Oh, no.
And so, to make a movie like this, you need to appeal to the moms that grew up loving it, that want to go see it. But they abandoned everything.
Yeah.
Like I equated on our fall preview episode that comes out next week, it looks like a gritty reboot of Josie and the Pussycats. Is all it looks like.
Absolutely, with more colors.
It doesn't have any Jim and the Holograms feel to it, and because they tried to ground it, they tried to make it real. And to me, that's what killed a lot of these 80 movies. I think the worst mistake Super Mario Brothers movie ever made was setting it in the real world.
Yep.
The Masters of the Universe movie was crossing it over with Earth. The shows were so good because they existed in this world.
Yeah.
Why do we have to change that? So, I mean, this, it's an 80s property, but I feel like they're taking that 80s approach to adapting it where, you know, it's why make Jim this realistic, like, teen gritty drama when that's not what it is at all?
Yeah, they, I wish they would have went something more like Scott Pilgrim-y, kind of like fantasy into something.
Anything
with this,
like the cartoon that looks fun.
Yep.
This
colorful, interesting.
If you gave me a movie that had the feel of the cartoon, I would take my kids to see it because I think my daughters would love it. I did start showing them the Jim cartoon, and they dig it. I would love to take them to a movie.
Yeah.
I would love to take them to a Jim movie that looks like a Jim movie. This doesn't. So, I don't get it.
They're trying to do too much.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't get the grounding and reality of these properties that don't need to be. Something else that's a different take on something. We've all seen Frankenstein stories many a times. But now we have Victor Frankenstein coming out, starring Danny Radcliffe as Igor and James McAvoy as Victor Frankenstein, I guess.
Sign me up.
It looks more like James McAvoy is playing Robert Downey Jr. as Sherlock Holmes. This trailer feels like, does it not feel like a Sherlock Holmes movie?
It does, but in a good way, because I really like those movies, and you said you didn't really like them.
They're watchable, and that's about what I expect from this. When it's on Netflix, and I have an hour and a half to kill, I'll put it on. I don't expect anything else from it. I like Danny Radcliffe. I like McAvoy a lot. I mean, the McAvoy turn is named after James McAvoy.
But this also would be the perfect thing. I think this comes out on the perfect day, because there's nothing I'd rather do than eat a big Thanksgiving meal at 2 o'clock and like kind of doze off in a theater watching this.
Yeah, I mean, it comes out the week before Thanksgiving, I think.
No, it's 25th.
Okay, so it's after.
It's the day of Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay, whatever.
Sign me up. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
You don't want to be all turkeyed up?
I don't want to go pay money to see this on the big screen.
Turkeyed up?
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
I'm about it.
One movie I'm very, very excited about, The Keeping Room, starring podcast darling Britt Marling, Haley Steinfeld, podcast martyr, who I hate, Sam Worthington.
Yeah.
It looks fantastic, though.
It looks all right.
See, I love her. I'll watch her, and I like Steinfeld. I think she does awesome stuff. I think it'll be really, really good. But, I mean, I like... It reminds me of something like Slow West that came out earlier this year with Michael Fassbender.
Yes.
Which I thought was fantastic.
Which was good, I agree.
I don't like Westerns, but that movie was really, really good.
The way to do a Western.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And my love for Fassbender is almost up there with my love for Britt Marling, so we'll see. But on to the trailer of all trailers. The biggest trailer to come out this year. Ride Along 2.
Garbage.
The Ice Cube, Kevin Hart.
I'm just beyond over Kevin Hart.
See, I'm not. I like Kevin Hart.
I'm over him. I've been over him.
I'm over Kevin Hart being misused as only one way. And this is like overdoing it.
Oh yeah. Super overdoing it.
Because you know what? The first Ride Along, I thought, had its moments.
It was about as okay as a Kevin Hart movie gets.
I like Kevin Hart as a comic. I like him on screen, but maybe I don't like him as a leading man. Or I want him to do something. He can do more than just this loud physical comedy stuff.
I just don't want... And it's what I think is going to happen is Kevin Hart's career is slowly but surely turning into Tyler Perry's career.
Oh, no.
And it's going to make me vomit. He's just going to keep churning out movies very quickly. He's going to get his TV show someday and just do his own thing.
See, I think Kevin Hart, he's kind of that perfect mix of the loudness of Chris Tucker and the subtlety of Orlando Jones.
But I guess.
Both of which had, like, pretty decent movie careers.
Yeah.
He's, like, an in-between of those. He's not as over-the-top as Tucker, but he's not as subdued as Orlando Jones.
He's more post-stand-up Eddie Murphy-ish to me.
I can't say that, because Eddie Murphy... I love Eddie Murphy movies. Like, Eddie Murphy movies in the 80s and 90s. I would love to see Kevin Hart make a Golden Child. I would love it.
I'd like to see Kevin Hart do a Dr. Dolittle.
See, I'd like to see Kevin Hart do something else. And I'm not saying get
serious. I'm sick of these type of movies is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not saying get serious. But if you look at the Ride Along 2 trailer, it relies on the same joke over and over again.
And this is also one of those movies where we talk about a lot. Was anybody really sitting through Ride Along 1 like, can't wait for another one of these?
No, this was greenlit before the first one even came out because it was cheap as hell to make. It came out in like January or February and made a ton of money. This one comes out in January or February. It's going to make a ton of money.
Which is miserable.
Which is why Kevin Hart's not going anywhere anymore. Because, I mean, he had the Will Ferrell movie. He's done this. Like, he's making okay choices. I just want people to use him better. And I don't want him to just overdo his...
Give me just a Kevin Hart, like, love story movie.
And you know what? He's actually really good in... Oh, he was in that About Last Night remake and the Think Like a Man movies. Like, he's a little more toned down in those. And he's really good.
He is. I'm just sick of... Like, I feel like all these, like... Ride Along and the Will Ferrell one, they all kind of just blur together.
Yeah,
they're all the
because
same.
They're doing the same thing with him, and he's over the top. Whereas I want to see...
Just portray him as a normal human.
I want to see, like, sidekick Kevin Hart that we see in, like, Think Like a Man.
Yeah.
As leading man.
Yeah.
Because leading man Kevin Hart is one thing. And, I mean, he's got that movie with LeBron that I have high hopes for, and yeah. I hope it's not... the same, but based on the script, I feel like
it's
going to
be the same. Oh, yeah.
But I'll still see it. Oh, I don't care. I'm excited.
Not me. No.
I love LeBron.
You can't draw me into that.
But yeah, so I don't know. That was Ride Along too. That's our episode for this week. You can find more of us, moviesonup@gmail.com. If you know what the tagline is this week, I don't even remember it anymore, but let us know.
When you get down and dirty...
Something like that. It all comes out. It's The Wash, or whatever that Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre movie was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But if you're right and we pick you, you win the amazing Movies on Up prize package. If you listen to our news episodes, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com. Let us know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong.
Or you can hit us up on Twitter/Facebook, because I'll pay attention to it.
Yeah.
Sort of.
I'm going to try to do it a little bit more. Hopefully Mike doing it some will make me do it a little bit more, but we'll see. But yeah, let us know. We're open for any suggestions.
Anything you want from us. anything you're really, you know, gunning for these news episodes to be, just let us know.
Yeah, and keep checking out me and Ryan's episodes. We just planned our October for this year, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's the 10th month of the year.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to do 2 movie episodes a week through that whole thing.
Double digits.
I don't know what Mike and I are going to do. We haven't talked about it yet, but we'll be back next week. You can find more of me at Dave Bissell on Twitter, at your man Mike on the Twitter, podcast.com for my other shows. We've been kind of dormant lately, but we'll get some more stuff up there later. And we'll be back next week. I think next week is our big fall preview, and we'll probably throw another news episode up. But until then,
keep it up.